Well, it was back in 2003 that God really began to place on my heart the need to figure out a way to get our youth in the church interested in missions and to begin to open up their eyes to not just what was taking place around them in the church and around them in Long Beach and in their schools, but to help them to have a larger vision for what is taking place around the world, especially within our denomination. And in my seeking for that, many of you know that we have gone on two missions trips to Cambodia through AY Mission. I was hooked up with Matt Peace, the director, and through much prayer, we were able to pull off in the last 3 years two trips to Cambodia, working in an English camp. The thing that I loved about these camps is that, you know, a lot of missionaries, I've heard in the past, it's difficult for missionaries to bring short-term teams because it kind of interrupts their flow of work. However, in Cambodia, the way that they've set this up is that their ministry and the things that they're doing depend upon short-term teams, and so it's vital that we go. We've taken 17 students over the last 3 years, and it's exciting to see how God has worked in their hearts that seven of those are committing themselves to pursue full-time ministry of some sort when they get out of college. And the rest of them, I am able to confidently say, have a very keen and new awareness of overseas missions. Well, on our first trip there in 2004, I had the privilege of preaching in two of the churches. And the second one, which was the Temnuptuk Alliance Church in Cambodia, I had Benoy Kess translated for me. And he is coming to, and he is going to share with us this morning from God's Word a little bit about Benoy. He has a family and three kids who are actually in Florida currently. And he works alongside the National Youth Director in Cambodia and has been doing that for a number of years. When he returns this coming June, he's going to be doing a new work with the Jirai people in Cambodia. And so he has a lot of great things to share with us. So if you would, please welcome this morning missionary Benoy Kess as he comes to share the Word of God.
Thank you very much. It's my honor and privilege to worship our Lord together this morning. Today I learned that it's in a lot of shows in America. It's called reality show. And they said, asked many people, why is it a reality show? They said, because the American culture now, they want to see something real. They don't want to see something fake. And, well, reality show to me, it's not that real. It's a lot of setup, you know. It takes a long time to set up a reality show. I don't know, because probably I'm an alien, probably. That's why I'm looking at things differently. Jesus' ministry, it's real. And I was raised as a Buddhist until I was 18. And studied some other religion. I was also Hindu and animist and Buddhist and many other things between. And with all of those religions I've experienced in my life, is a lot of them is really very polished and make things very nice and sounds very good. When I accept Christ to be my Lord and Savior and able to read and see the story of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's unique, and his ministry seemed to be hit a lot of wave in his life ministry. It's a lot of problems, and at the point that crucifixion seemed to be the ultimate cause of his life. I would like to read scripture from Matthew chapter 24. This is a very familiar passage to many of you. And I promise I'm not going to draw any kind of a map to show what is the end time going to look like. Let your pastor do that. So let me read to you the word of the Lord. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciple came up to him to call his attention to the buildings. "Do you see all of these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on the other. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus sitting on the Mount Olives, the disciple came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And when will the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out, no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumor of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and earthquake in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will hand it over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because all of this increase of wickedness, the love most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as the testimony to the nations, and then the end will come. If we look into the previous chapter, we can see why Jesus brought this up. Actually, from chapter 22, the Pharisee and the Sadducee seem to be go after Jesus again and again, try to set up trap to trap him of his word. They do all kinds of things to find faults and accuse him finally of blasphemy, the ultimate accusation. And they go after him again and again. In chapter 23, Jesus confronts them. And you wouldn't see many religion write something like this, because it seems that Jesus is too hard here, especially he called them hypocrite, snake, and just go on and on and on, repeating the irritation of the people who are hearing Jesus kind of confronting the Pharisee. And why is all of that? You know, Jesus has attempted many times enter to Jerusalem and to present himself as a Messiah to the people. But any attempt that he tried to enter to Jerusalem seemed that he get blocked. There's a hard heart in that city, and here you can see why the Lord showing love to his people, his chosen people. But this resistance seemed to be so strong. And he quote from Old Testament in verse chapter 23, verse 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who you killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gather her chicks under the wings, but you're not willing." That is his desire. That is where his heart. Look at the the Old Testament, the prophecy, the foreseeing the future, and again and again and again, but seem that people, his people, seem to keep turning away. The ultimate that Christ decides to do is to come to them, to reach them. And he came. But they still not receive him. That's why he confronted them. He called them, "You snake, you brood viper, you escape being condemned to hell." And that is very harsh. That is not seem to be God that we pictures, right? And right now, these days, you know, if anything about harsh, you know, that's not good. It has to be nice and clean and, you know, smooth. And Jesus here, you have to acknowledge that he is the creator. He is the master of the universe. He is the overall everything. That he is the absolute in authority. He has the right to say something like that. Because not out of envy, hatred, but out of love. Just imagine, as a human being, I don't know, but in Cambodian society, it seems to be have a lot of problem with the first and the second and the third generation. The kids seem to be drawing away, going away and away and away. And the parents try to get hold of them, try to embrace them, but the kid would shake their head. "You don't understand my culture." And they walk away and they join gang, and the parents cry and pray and just to do everything to win them back. But they seem to be the resistant. They think their friends like them more. Their friends die for them, they think. The parents seem to be the enemies to them because they seem to be always putting law into their lives. No freedom. They cannot do what they want. But I asked 100 Cambodians the same answer because I love my kids so much. That's why I do what I do. Try to show them that I love them. And that seems that the love is not communicating. This kid is not receiving that love because they didn't understand. But some people, when they get older, when they start to have family, and then they start to think, when they have the kid and love the kid, and then they start to understand why my parents love me. You know, now they start to respect. They start to think what the parent did is good things for them. It's the same thing, you know. The Lord really cares for his people. He goes an extra miles to reach down to his people, but seem to be resistant. Chapter 24. That's why the shift of focus. Jesus, after the confrontation, kind of left the city and went to walk away. And the disciple tried to comfort him by pointing to him the temple. As they are on the top of the Mount Olives, it's easy to down to Jerusalem. It's beautiful. And from nowhere, they said, "Look, Lord, there's a temple. Beautiful." And if you read other translation, probably like the Message and other translation, they said the magnificent temple. The stone is so huge and nice. And this temple was rebuilt by Herod the Great to please the Jews, and also that he know that the temple is so important to the nation of Israel. And he not just bring scrap and build it just to get it done, but he did a really fine job. In Mark, talked at the temple, it's just huge column of stone. It's just amazing with the stone. So it's a national pride to the Jews. It's a national pride. It's something that the temple is mean everything to them. They always want a temple. They always want a temple. Until these days, they still worship on that wall of the temple. So that's why I think the disciple kind of encouraging Jesus and comfort him, you know, after it seemed to be this the long confrontation. Probably Jesus needed a little comfort. That's why he showed him the temple. This temple to honor you, to glorify you. We did all of this because we adore God. We are the children of God. We do everything in our nation to do for God. But Jesus kind of look at them and give them a really bleak picture of the temple. He said, "Do you see all of these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not even one stone will be left on the other. Everyone will be thrown down." So Jesus seeing things ahead. To Jesus, is a temple is important? Of course it's important. But if it used, it's not proper, not honoring God, it's not important. As you see in the previous chapter, talk that Jesus, when he went to the temple, you see all the things that are going on that's not pleasing God. It used to be the house of prayer, now it's become the dens of robber. And he drove off the seller and the buyers from the temple. Because, see, this is not a proper place that they're using anymore to honor him. They deceive. They're too focused on here, right now, making money, selling. So even the priests take advantage in the temple. It's not the priority originally that God wanted them to build a temple for. Disciple tried, but didn't work. And then he talked to them about the future. And Peter, James, John, and Andrew came to Jesus because I think they're curious enough about Jesus' speech. And he asked, "What is the sign? What is the end time going to look like?" And as you heard, and you're familiar with the passage, it's very bleak. It's not a good promise. It talk about the wars and about their deceit and about their all the problem, the calamity, which is it's true today. It's true, and the famines and people will betray and heart become cold and even give up faith. And I couldn't help to sing. I'm not trying to criticize anything, but it's just reality. If you go travel through Europe, you will see a lot of big cathedrals. And basically, those cathedrals is for tourists, for people to see. And there's a lot of things you can see there. It's like a stone. It's like a tomb that the great pastor there for many years that died and so on and so forth. So people go and see the tomb and sit in the church. And it's very hard, like Paris, it's very hard to bring the gospel to. And used to be one time, like almost like a Christian state. You go to British, some other country. Now seem to be a lot of people really abandon their faith. They're not put a trust anymore on God. And that is reality. Jesus said how many years ago? And it come to pass right now. And Jesus not gonna let the Pharisee stop him from accomplish his goal. And verse 14 is very important that he told his disciple, he said, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come." You see his passion? You see Christ's passion? He doesn't want to leave any people not hearing the gospel because it's so important. about life changing. It's so important. This gospel must tell all the nations, all the people in the world. Christ can come anytime. You know? I think people now under persecution, they pray for Jesus to come right now. But because of Jesus' love for his people, he delayed. That's a good thing, because he wants us to go and tell all the people around the world. Imagine, a couple of years ago, I wouldn't be able to stand here if no missionary going to my country and going to work in a refugee camp. My first time I ever heard about the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 18 years old in a refugee camp. Never heard in my life. My mother died when she was 49 during the Khmer Rouge from starvation. Never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And millions of Cambodians died. And millions of people around the world. It's hard for us to imagine, so like the state, like the country in the United States. We grow up, we hear about the Lord all our life. About Christmas and about Easter and about Jesus' story. But you know what? A lot of people didn't have the chance even to hear about the Lord. That's why it's so important that God show his disciple, the end will come is I want you to go and keep telling people around the world, all the people, all the nations, all races, to hear this good news, to accomplish my goal. That's why he came. The gospel is about the love of Christ who came and gave his own life for sinners like us. And thousands of people around the world didn't have that opportunity. They died. But I thank God for Christian and Missionary Alliance. We still focus, like this church. You know that in the bulletin, the announcement is that this month is a missionary emphasis week. That because that passion to reach the world from start 100 years ago, a little more than 100 years ago, and we're still doing that. 10 years ago, there's no missionary in Cambodia. Wouldn't have 2,500 Charai worship Sunday. There wouldn't be Jirai who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but because of you sending us to Cambodia. More than 300,000 Cambodians came to know Christ in the last 10 years. That is the big difference. Because sometimes some of the churches that we don't need to go overseas. There's a mission field right here in our home. It's true. It is. Because we are diverse culture here. And the people come from different countries to live here. But we're not just focused here. We need to go everywhere, like Jesus commanded. Here and there and everywhere to preach the gospel. He still gave us a chance. There's a window of opportunity for us to make the difference in the lives of the people. Remember when you came to faith to have that connection, the relationship with Christ? What a life-changing, what an experience that you and I have gone through. Don't let that die out. Let bring that excitement and have that passion. It's life experience to share to other people. There's a lady named Yim. She's a witch doctor. In Cambodia. Cambodia, we rely on a lot of witch doctors because it's medical, it seems to be, it's not in place. And a witch doctor is to appease the spirit. And when you get malaria, you can appease the spirit. When you get TB, you can appease the spirit. So everything is a spirit, is a part of their life. And the spirit will keep, make you well or make you sick. And this lady, doctor, is a witch doctor. She get to the point that the whole village, even a neighbor village, adore her, like she had the cure to every disease. And she get to the point that that she was so possessed. This is real. Very possessed by Satan, demon possessed her. To the point that she was so weak and she would leave the food to be rotten before she eat. Imagine leaving food for 2 days before you eat in a warm climate, a lot of fly, what can damage to your body. But Satan manipulate, and people worshiping her in spite of all that. She was so sick for 5 months to the point that she's going to die. And her daughter have a friend who came to that village church, the next village. And a lot she been to church, she heard the testimony. This is a new church. How the Lord have healed the people. And she begged the pastor and the people from the church to come and pray for her mother. She know that she's dying because she eat rotten food and she's so sick that she cannot even get up from her bed for 5 months. And she's going to die. And the church people agreed to go and pray for her. And they pray. They really pray and they sing. Like an hour, just sing nonstop and casting out demon. To this point, she really doesn't know. She cannot even talk a lot about what's going on. So people pray and pray and pray for her for 2 weeks. Finally, Satan left. The devil left her. And they pray for healing, pray and put hand on her body and pray for her. 2 weeks after that, I went back to the church and witnessed of her recovery. She came, this is a lady for 5 months, never wake up. I mean, to walk by her own, always on her dead bed. She came and carried 12 coconut on her head, you know, like Asians like to carry on the coconut. Come to church to give a testimony that the Lord healed her. And just go on and on the story like that in Cambodia. The Lord is really revealed His power through prayer and healing and do miracle things, just changing lives. And that's how people come to know Christ. Let's get back to our story and how we can apply this to our lives. I believe, first of all, God called us to share Christ. Doesn't matter if you are a professional, teacher, lawyer, doctor, trash collector, whatever we are at. But I believe, down deep in my heart, the first thing God called us to is to share, to preach the gospel, to tell people about the Lord. And that is need to be priority in our lives. Can you see, like Christ see? Can you feel the passion, like Christ has the passion? Like the song said, give me your heart. Give me your eyes. Sometimes because of we live in the world, it's distraction from our priority. Just an example of one commercial. Just a couple of weeks ago, right, there's a football, Super Bowl. And sorry, I missed the Super Bowl. I like to watch Super Bowl, but I was distracted by the Monk Show. And that's a reality. And also, I was preaching that evening. And people didn't like me coming to their church that Sunday. But there's the commercial, the Coca-Cola commercial I learned from other people telling me. I don't know if it's true or not. But they said there's the Coca-Cola willing to pay $2.3 million for a commercial, for Coca-Cola commercial during the break, the football break. And see how much they go extreme, you know, willing to pay so much to advertise, to make their brand name known to all the people, you know, millions of people that watching the Super Bowl. They They prepare, they plan, they spend a lot of money, and they do that. And there's many other commercial in America. You can see that sometimes you get sick of the commercial. It's too much, like a credit card and other things. Just so many things that's going on. And it, that, you know what? Those commercials, it seem to be, you cannot live without it. The message is that you cannot live without it. You have to have it. You have to have it. So that eminence that you cannot live without it, it just so distracts us so much from our daily life. And sometimes, you know, for me, if I live here long enough, I would like to, living that dream because of the promise thing. It's going to be competition. But one thing that we not distract is because we have the word. We have the message. And we need to prioritize clearly in our lives. Whether you go to school, whether you teach, whatever you do, remember, get up in the morning, start the day, Lord, may I speak the truth. May I speak your word. May I share with somebody. Can we sincerely ask God to prioritize that in our lives? What we do, what we say, our good deed, let's do it all in the name of Jesus because it's so important. It's changing life. It transforms lives. The life that God gives is eternal. The relationship that you and I had with Him, the experience, is so immense. And we don't want to keep that for ourselves. We need to preach the gospel. That's why Jesus looked into disciples. The end come is I'm going to give my people around the world to hear the gospel because I love them so much. I don't want them to die without hearing this great news. That is passion. That is all about Jesus who came to the world. And I'm grateful for those who sacrificed to come to Cambodia to share Christ to the refugee camp that I'm able to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are here this morning, because of Him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we plead with You this morning to give us Your heart, to give us Your eyes, that we may see through Your lens, Lord. Give us that burning desire to share Christ. That we live in this world for that purpose. Like Your words have said, Lord, if we gain the whole world but lost our soul, what good it be? May we see what is so important in our life. Give us Your heart. Thank You, Jesus. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.